I don't know how many of you tonight who are here are married. I'm not sure how many of you here tonight ever have been married. Not sure how many of you here tonight plan to one day be married. I'm not sure how many here tonight wonder if you will ever be married. But we're focusing this month on the theme of helping our marriages to become stronger. Would you believe that when you get married, things change? Would you believe that things might change when you get married? And when I say that, your thoughts just run about the things that change when you get married. Your address might change. Used to say your phone number might change, but no, you got a cell phone number now and you're not going to change that for anything. But it used to be you might get a new phone number. You might get a new address. All sorts of things might change. I want to suggest to you tonight that when you get married, your vocabulary needs to change. And I'm not talking about bad words that you would say. That needs to change whether you get married or not. But when you get married, your vocabulary needs to change. How do we know that? I want you to get your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 10. And I want you to see if you can help me to see how our vocabulary needs to change when we get married. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking. You know that if you've got a red letter Bible. And when you pick up your Bible and you're reading Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking about marriage. And he quotes from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And so when you're picking up your Bible and you're reading verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, particularly verses 7 and 8, Jesus is quoting from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And what I want you to look at in Mark chapter 10 and verse 8 is a change in a word that transpires in this verse. And I want you to see if this will help us to understand how our vocabulary might need to change when we get married. Look in Mark chapter 10 and verse 8. And the two shall become... What's the word you got? One. The two shall become one flesh. So that's Genesis 2 and verse 24. Now here's Jesus' commentary on Genesis 2 verse 24. So then they are no longer... What's the word? Two. They used to be two. They're not two anymore. They're no longer two, but are... What's the word? One flesh. They used to be two people, two different people, two separate people, but they're no longer two. They have become one. I want to suggest to you tonight that when you get married, your vocabulary needs to change. And when you get married, it's no longer I and me and my. Those are the words you used to use when you were a two, but you're not a two anymore. You are a one. And when you become a one, it's not I and me and my anymore. What do you think those words change to? Well, if you had to guess, what do you think those words change to? They change to me, right? They change to mine. They change to, it's got to be my way. Is that right? No. I and me and my changes to we and us and our. Is that true? The two are no longer two. They're one. And when you become one, it's not all about me. Now it's about we. And it's about us. Tonight, I don't want this to concern you. Tonight, in a very brief way, I want us to look at 11 hours that we've got to have in our marriages if they're going to be strong. This started out as 7. And then it became 8. You know what happened after it was 8. It became 9. And I wanted to stop at 10 because that's a nice round number. And wouldn't you know the brake pedal just didn't work. And we got to 11. 11 hours. That if I'm married, it's not me anymore. Well, if I'm married, it's not my anymore. When I get married, my vocabulary needs to change. And it becomes things that are ours. How strong is your marriage tonight? Those of you who are married, those of you who want to one day maybe be married, But those who are married tonight, how strong is your marriage? If your marriage is full of I's and me's and my's, I'm going to tell you tonight, your marriage is not very strong. But if your vocabulary in marriage is full of we's and us's and ours, you're taking some great strides to helping your marriage to become stronger, because you're learning it's not about me, it's about us. What are some ours? And I'm not, notice that that doesn't have the letter H in front of it. We're not going to be here for 11 hours with an H on it tonight, unless you would like to be, but I think I'd be here all by my lonesome. 11 hours without the H that we need to have in our marriages if they're going to be strong. Number one, what's an hour that we need to have for our marriage to be strong tonight? Number one, we need our faith. Now, don't misunderstand. Obviously, we're going to have my faith and you're going to have your faith, and those are two different things. But I want us to understand that for our marriage to truly be as strong as it can be, we need our faith. We need a faith that Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, where he's talking to Christians, but I want you to talk about two Christian husband and wives. There is a like precious faith. Do you and your spouse have a like precious faith? To where it's not just your faith, it's not just my faith, it is our faith. That we share a faith in God that is strong. We share a faith in Jesus Christ that is strong. We share a faith in the Bible being the Word of God that is strong. You want your marriage to be strong? Here's the foundation for it. The rest of these hours are built upon this one. For us to have the strongest marriage possible, we need our faith. That's why we encourage so strongly that when our young people are looking for someone to marry, that they marry someone of like precious faith. That they don't marry someone who does not believe in God like they do, does not believe in Jesus Christ like they do, does not believe in the Word of God like they do, that does not believe in the unique nature of the gospel of the Lord's church like they do, because when there are two that are bound together that do not share a like precious faith, they are missing something to help their marriage to be as strong as it possibly can be. You want your marriage to be strong? Study together. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Talk to God together. Build your faith so it's not my faith and your faith, so that you work on our faith becoming stronger in God. What do we need for our marriage to be strong? We need our faith. What do we need for our marriage to be strong? We need to talk about not my church and your church, and I'm using this word accommodatively, I understand that. I'm not talking about my church and your church, we're talking about our church. That our devotion to, our involvement with the church is not, well, that's what it's our involvement with the church. Are you a Christian? Is your husband or wife a Christian? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, when it talks about the church, it says, we are members of one another. That's talking about you and everybody else in this church. We're members of one another. But what about a husband and a wife who are both members of the body of Christ? They are members of one another. And so they have become one because God has bound them as one, as husband and wife. But what if now they are one, not just in marriage, but are a part of the one body? Having been added to, having become a part of that one body in both the same way. How do you become a part of the church? How do you become a part of the body of Christ? The Bible uses those words interchangeably, the word body and the word church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says that someone gets into the one body by being baptized into the one body. If you are a part of the one body with your husband or wife, it's because you have both followed the same plan that God has laid out for us to follow in order to become a part of that same body. But how active are you Is your husband more active in the church than you are? Is your wife more involved in the things of the church than you are? Is it our church? Is it our participation? One of the greatest things that husband and wife can do together is to worship together. Don't misunderstand me using the word church and the word worship and saying, well, you go to church and go to worship. You know those two words are different. But if it's our church, one of the greatest things a husband and wife can do is to worship together. One of the greatest things not just a husband and wife can do, the greatest thing a family can do is to bring those children to sit on that pew together and to worship God together. You know, it doesn't matter what else happens during the week. It doesn't matter anything else that's happened during the week when you can sit together and praise God together. If you want your marriage to be strong, it needs to be not, well, that's what you're doing in the church. Well, I'm not. It needs to be our church. That we are involved together. Now, you might think this one's the same, and a little bit it is. But as a husband and a wife, we need our priorities. We need to set our priorities together. We need to determine as a husband and a wife what is most important to us in our marriage. Not just what's most important to you, my husband, what's most important to you, my wife. Those are important questions to ask. But as a husband and a wife, what are our priorities? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Is that first in your marriage? Together, have you set that as your priority? That the Lord and His church and His righteousness are first in your marriage? Galatians 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith." Is that a priority in your marriage? Is serving others a priority in your marriage? Not just for one of you, and not just for the other of you. Together, have you determined this is what's going to be most important for us in our marriage? Is that the Lord is first, that His church is first, that serving others is first. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, I don't know if I left this verse on there or not. Yeah, I did. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, Jesus said, "You know who's going to be the greatest among you? The servant." Are you both husband and wife servants in the Lord's church together? You want your marriage to be strong? It needs to have our faith. It needs to have our church that we are devoted to 100%. It needs to have our priorities that we set. Don't get married and you get married, you just assume you have the same priorities. Assumptions are a big problem when you get married. If you just assume they want the same number of kids you do and then you get married, oh, you want 11 kids, I just wanted two. That's different. Assumptions can get you in trouble when you get married. Don't just assume you're going to have the same priorities. Well, we met at the church. We both go to church together. We got the same priorities. That doesn't mean you've got the same priorities. You need to talk about it before you get married. And if you're already married, perhaps it'd be a good conversation to say, "Honey, let's sit down and talk. And let's make sure we're working towards the same end here. What can make our marriage stronger?" Our marriages can be stronger. And you're going to think this is weird, but it needs to be our marriage. I almost put our relationship here, almost put our bond here. Could be a number of different words here. But we need to focus in and say, this is our marriage. What does that mean? Well, what that means is that when God laid out His plan for marriage, He said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, and then go get married, cleave unto his wife." But before the cleaving takes place, he needs to leave father and mother. You know what that means? That means that when you get married, you're not married to your mama anymore. When you get married, you're not married to your daddy anymore. When you get married, you are supposed to have left father and mother. You know, what it's either number one or number two, depending on what survey you're going to look at and who you're going to ask. Do you know what's in the number top spot or in the second spot on marriage conflict today? You know what it is that's causing problems in marriages today? It's either number one or number two, depending on what survey you're going to look at. You know what it is? In-laws. Your mom and your... No, it's not my mom. It's his mom. It's not my mom. My mom's greatest. No, it's in-laws that are interfering in marriages. Guess what? When you get married, you're not with mom and dad anymore. And there's not an opportunity to say, well, I'm just going to run back to... No, we're not running back. We left them. I'm now cleaving to my husband. It's not, well, you looked at me funny. I'm going to go talk to my daddy about it. It is that God joined us together, and it's our marriage. Not anybody else's marriage to interfere in. It is our marriage that we've got to set up as our priority for our relationship. Do we understand that? That this bond that we have is unlike any other bond we've ever had. A man shall leave his father and mother. That doesn't mean you don't call them. Better call your... When you go to college, you better call your... It doesn't mean you don't talk to them. But it means that's not my number one relationship anymore. That's not my number one priority on this earth anymore. I'm now one. I once was a two, but now I am one. Not with my mom or my dad, but my husband or my wife. And I'm not going to let anybody else interfere. I'm not going to run to anybody else. I'm not going to tell my mom everything that he does wrong. Guess what that's going to do for your marriage? Ruin it. You're going to run back to your mom and tell her everything that she's doing wrong. That's not going to help. That's going to hurt. Make a determination. This is our marriage. And we're going to make our marriage work. And as hard as it might even believe this, your relationship with your husband and your wife has to take priority over your relationship with your own children. You're not married to your kids. Lord willing, they'll grow up and marry somebody else and get out of your house. But you're not married to your kids. Your relationship with your spouse is what God made one. You've got to give that priority. You've got to feed that. You've got to encourage that. You've got to strengthen that. You've got to take care of your kids. There's no question about that. You've got to devote attention to your children. There's no question about that. But the design of God is for them to grow up one day and leave you, mother and father. And when all the kids move out of the house, and guess who's still there? Oh, yeah, you're still here. You're not moving out. That's right. Because it's our marriage that's more important than any other relationship on this earth. What's it going to take for our marriages to be stronger? What is this, number five? We've got to determine that when we talk about money, it is our money. Somebody says, well, I was with you on number one, number two, number three, and number four. I was right along. I could have been saying amen, but I was just keeping it to myself. What in the world are you talking about money for? I full-heartedly believe that one of the gravest dangers that a husband and a wife can undertake when they get married, for him to keep his money to him and for her to keep her money to her, and not to say, this is our money. And somebody says, you got a lot of nerve saying that in public. You don't know my husband. You did. You made the decision. You don't know my wife. You don't know how she spends money. Okay. Are you still two? Or did you become one? And when you became one, what part of the previous life did you want to keep separate from the one? And what reason could you give to say, I've got this part of me that I'm going to keep separate from my one? I tell you, you will not come up with a good answer to that question, because there isn't one. Somebody says, "Wow, that's a lot to think about. I mean, how do you come to terms with combining of finances and combining of your financial resources? How many couples are there that he pays certain bills and she pays certain bills? I'll pay it out of my money and you pay that out of your money." What does that say? We've got things separated. Is separated a good word to use in a marriage context? We've got things separated. If you've got things separated in marriage, guess what you're preparing for? Guess what you're just taking a chance that maybe you need to keep it separated. If you keep it that way, what are you saying? I'm just not sure I can trust you yet. God took two and He made one. You chose, in this country, you chose the one that you became one with. I would challenge you to think about this. Is there any reason that our two finances should not become one, where we sit and we talk about our financial choices, purchases, where we sit and talk about, oh, this is a four-letter word, except it has more than four letters, budget. I said it. There's that word. It's out there. We talk about a budget and how we, not me, are going to spend our, not my, money, and how we are going to make choices, and how much we are going to give to the Lord from our finances that we have combined as one. I would challenge you to think about, is there any reason that I should be keeping mine to me and hers or his to them, and never the twain shall meet? You want your marriage to be stronger? Trust your spouse. Stop keeping things separate. Number six, we want our marriages to be stronger. We need to talk about our goals. Our goals. I've got my goals. You've got your goals. Those are important to have. But as a husband and a wife, do you have our goals? One area that I would talk to you about here would be, what about our career goals? Not that you have to have the same career. Oh, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it? If you had to have the same career. What if you were both accountants and you had to work in the same account? Oh, wait a minute. We have some of those, don't we? What if you were, so that happens where you have the same profession. And so, but when I'm saying that your career has to be the same, but should you have discussed and set out goals so that they are the same? So instead of one spouse saying, well, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to become this and I don't care what you say about it, that you've discussed these things, that you set out and say, here's what I want, here's what we want in our goals to be in life, whether it be career goals, whether it be buying a house goal, whether it be retirement goals, that you don't just say, well, this is what I want, here's what I'm set up, that you work on them together. If you are working on your goals separately as a husband and a wife, your marriage is limited in how strong it can become. It's interesting in James chapter 4 that you have the personal the plural personal first person personal pronoun we in that passage, where God says, here we are making plans, and we will go to such and such a city, and we will do business, and we will make this much money. And God says, wait a minute, hang on a second. First of all, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we. Interesting, you got the word we there. If the Lord wills, James 4 and verse 15, we will do such and such. As a husband and a wife, have you set out your goals together and to say, we will do this if it's the Lord's will? What things are you aspiring for in this life? Are you working for them together? There's a number of couples in this church where somebody has gone back to school to to obtain an advanced degree in order to change careers or to do something else. And thankfully, there has been collaboration where they have worked together and said, "We will make this happen. We'll deal with some financial troubles in the process, but we together will work together to make this happen." That's how your marriage can become strong. You got our goals. Number seven, we'll move through these quickly. At least a couple of them we will. We've got to have our friends. Well, what are you talking about, our friends? Do you have your friends? He's got his friends. And never the twain shall meet. This doesn't mean that if you've got friends when you get married, you got to ditch your friends. Unless you just got bad friends, and well, that's another story. But when you're married, you need to be able to have our friends. I met somebody 15 years ago, married couple. And the wife told me that when she got off of work, she would go and hang out with her friends. When her husband got off of work, he'd go hang out with his friends. And then they'd get home real late at night, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, get up the next day, go to work, and do the same thing again. It's my friends and your friends. The wife even said to me, "I get off of work, I go hang out with my friends, and I don't want my friends to know him. And I don't want him to know my friends." Does that strike you different? Nothing wrong with having guys that you like hanging out with, assuming you're a guy. Nothing wrong with having your girlfriends, assuming you're a girl. It's no problem having your own friends. But if that keeps you separate from each other, you need to have some our friends. And I would encourage you, and I got it on the screen, to make those church friends. Those are the folks that you like to hang out with together. Because the more you have pulling you apart and separating you from each other, including your friends, the weaker your marriage will be. Would it surprise you to know that that couple that I met 15 years ago was divorced within 6 months of me meeting and talking to them? They didn't want to be together. They had their own friends. We need to have our friends. That'll help you have a strong marriage. And not just our friends. And some of these are going to overlap. These 3, 7, 8, 9 sort of overlap. But we need to have our recreation. Somebody says, "Man, you are just meddling like crazy. Our recreation. I don't want her coming out with me and playing golf or doing what I want her to." That's fine. I'm not saying that if you go play golf, she's got to come with you. Doesn't mean if you enjoy playing video games that you got to have her playing video games with you. It's not saying that you all have to have every recreation the same, but it's the same thing as friends. If you've got what you enjoy doing, and he or she's got what they enjoy doing, and well, you know, we're just going to do our own thing, guess what that does? It doesn't help the two of you to have something you enjoy doing together. And when two different people get married, guess what? Their interests are going to be completely different. Most of the, not completely, but going to be different. And when a man and a woman get married, guess what? Their recreation is different. Have you noticed that? Generally speaking, a guy's recreation, what he enjoys doing in his time off and his hobbies, are different than a lady. Have you noticed that? That's the way God made us. God made us to be different. But for our marriage to be strong, we need to find something we enjoy doing together. And to spend time doing it together. We need to not just have my time and your time, we need to have our time. This is hard to find today. When you have kids, it's hard to find our time. When you have a job, it's hard to find our time. But when you're married, you need to find our time. Where you can shut out the world, and it's not just you by yourself, but it is you and your husband, you and your wife together. Spending time together. Focusing in on each other. Isn't that what God said? And when God gave the instructions for marriage in Genesis 2 and verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and the old King James says, cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You've got to spend time together. You can't cleave if you're not together. That's a little hard, isn't it? You can't be bonded together. That word cleave there is a word that was used for glue or cement. It's like super glue. Well, you can't glue two things together if those two things are not together. We want our marriages to be strong. We've got to have our time. We got to carve that out. And for some of us, we might need to put it on our calendar. I mean, you put people's birthday on your calendar. You put doctor's appointments on your calendar. You put things on your calendar. Have you ever just put time? This is my time. This is our time together. Maybe we need to do that. To bond and to make us stronger together. Number 10. For us to be strong in our marriages, we need to have our commitment. It's important for me to be committed to my marriage. It's important for you to be committed to your marriage. But what happens when we are committed to our marriage? Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. It's not that you give 50 and I'll give 50 and we'll be doing well. If you're only giving 50% in your marriage, it's not going to work. We got to give 100%. We've got to be 100% committed to our marriage to make sure that it is everything that God wants it to be. When you read Ephesians chapter 5, here's a whole section of Scripture. Here's, 13 verses from 21 to 33. 13 verses where God is describing to us the kind of commitment we need to have in marriage. And notice the kind of commitment it is. The commitment that you have in your marriage is the kind of commitment that Jesus has in His marriage. How committed is Jesus to His marriage? Ephesians 5 says that Jesus is married to His bride, His church. How committed is He? Is He just like Sunday morning committed? I mean, is that the level of His commitment? How committed is He? He was committed to the point of going to the cross and dying for His church. That's how committed He was. That's how committed He is. How committed am I to my marriage? And when two people are joined together and they 100% commit to each other, not only to be faithful, we say that in our vows when we get married, or hopefully we say that in our vows when we get married, to keep myself for her and for her alone until death separates me. When we say that in our vows, do we meet it? 100% commitment. I'm going to be faithful, but it's more than just being faithful. 100% committed that I am going to make this marriage the best that it can be with the Lord's help. Jesus is committed to your marriage. Are you? God's committed to your marriage. He made you one. Are you committed to it? The final hour that we need to look at to make our marriage strong is to talk about our inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to close tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, you have a discussion about marriage. You have instructions given to wives in the first 6 verses. You have instructions given to the husband in verse 7. And it's in verse 7, among these instructions that God gives to the husbands, where we find this expression. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husbands likewise, just as the wives, he says likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding. It is possible, otherwise God would not have told you to do it. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. Gentlemen, I want you to underscore that in your mind. Sometimes men, husbands, think, I'm the head of the house. I'm the one who gets to make all the decisions. I'm the one who gets to tell you what to do. And you're supposed to submit to me. What does this verse tell us to do, husbands? Give honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel. And not only that, but as being heirs together of the grace of life. When a husband and a wife get married, God takes the two and He makes them one. When a Christian man and a Christian woman get married, God takes those two heirs, H-E-I-R-S, and He makes them joint heirs. Heirs together of the grace of life. What is the ultimate goal? What should be the ultimate goal of every husband and every wife? To get to heaven together. It does not matter how much money is in your joint bank account if you're not focused on getting to heaven together. It does not matter how long it's going to take you to pay off his student loans if you are not focused on getting to heaven together. There is nothing on this earth that matters more than two heirs of Christ being joined by God and saying, we are going to help each other get to heaven. And that's why we encourage our young people before they ever get married, that when they're making that selection, that they find someone who can help them get to heaven and to find someone that they can help get to heaven. That's all that matters. How strong is your marriage? Which one of the 11 hours do you think you need, or which two, or which three, would you say, I need to really focus in on this? Or we need to focus in on this. When you get married, your vocabulary needs to change. And when you get married, that vocabulary needs to change from I and me and my to we and us and our. And you know your marriage is not very strong if that we and us and our starts to become again I, me, my, what I want, what I deserve, what needs to happen for me. All of a sudden, when you change the pronouns back to the singular, marriage is not very strong. I want to read you something I found. Completely forgot that I had it. That I found when I pulled out a file this afternoon that I think encapsulates marriage and what we're talking about well, and changing our pronouns from I and me and my to talk about us. Some of you, boy, not many of you, I guess, some of you will know the names of Dean and Fran Reynolds. I hesitate to do this. Raise your hand if you know who Dean and Fran Reynolds were. Okay, some of you. Dean worked with this congregation for a number of years back in the 70s and 80s, primarily in visitation and encouragement of members. He and his wife, Fran, never had any children. The church was their first love in so many ways. They were married for, I think, about 60 years. At the time of the writing of this letter, they had been married 53 years. I believe this letter was written in 1988, when Dean would have been 77 years old. And they were married for over 60 years, so you do the math on that. I want you to think about this. This is a letter written by a man who's 77, written to his wife, who they've been married for 53 years. I just want you to listen to this. It's meaningful to me because Dean and Fran, I was very close to them. In our wedding, they were my honorary grandparents that walked down the aisle. So I love them dearly. And I completely forgot that I had this, but I want you to listen to what he says. Dear Fran, my beloved wife, after 53 years, I, and he's only going to use that word about two or three more times, I am taking time to write you one of my few letters. It is so nice to be at your side and not away wishing to be with you. We have spent all of these years together without any serious quarrels or fights. You have been so patient and caring for me as we have suffered our ups and downs together. I remember when you made $2 a week as a companion to Mrs. Denny, and I made $9 a week driving a truck hauling coal and livestock. We were just as happy then as we are now. On our wedding night, when we stopped at a White Castle cafe and had our wedding feast with 5-cent hamburgers, and we went across the street to a pawn shop and purchased a $6 wedding ring, we were as happy as we could be. Through all your sickness and mine, our love for one another made it so much more bearable and gave us the determination to overcome any ailment. As we overcame all our trials and tribulation, it only strengthened our love and consideration for one another. Yes, we have seen many dark clouds, but behind each cloud, we felt the sunshine. Life together has been wonderful from early dawn to now when the sun is going down in the west. Our love for one another has never wavered. Time has bound the chains of matrimony tighter and tighter, which has only brought joy, not pain. Although many of our body parts are manifesting their wear, we can still enjoy the sunset together and look forward to a new future even better than the past. Although the past has been wonderful together. With all my love, your other half. How strong is your marriage? If it's full of me and my and I, it's not very strong. But if you can say, it's about our, it's about us, and it's about we, we're gone a long way to helping God help us make us stronger in our marriage. As you leave tonight, perhaps think about which one of these things do I need to talk about with my spouse. And not just say, well, that was a wonderful lesson. I hope we can get better at this. But even if you're a Dean or Fran Reynolds who've been married for 53 years, where can we make improvements? May God help us in our marriages to make sure He's at the center of them, that He's giving us our strength. Are you a Christian tonight? We're here tonight and we've been talking about marriage and we've been talking about our relationship with each other. But what about your relationship with Christ? How strong is your relationship with Christ? There's 5 things you've got to do in order to have a strong relationship with Him. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of the sins that are separating you from Him. Make up your mind you want to turn your life over to Him. Confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized into Christ. That enters you into a relationship with Him. Sins have been removed, and now all of those sins are gone because you've been baptized and the blood of Jesus has washed away those sins. And now you are in a relationship with God that you never had before. And what does He ask you to do? Serve Him faithfully. Not to be a perfect person, but to be a faithful person in service to Him, giving Him your all. Where are you in your relationship with Christ tonight? That's the most important question. And if you're not right with Him, we would encourage you to come, even right now, as together we stand and sing.